This content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion advised.
I still feel weird when I go visit my parents and have to sleep in that room. I will never forget that face or that voice. To this day, it haunts me, and I wonder what it was trying to tell me.
We saw the woman in black again from time to time. We felt this hunger from her. She felt open to something. I think it was the negative energy.
From Killer Podcasts, true tales of horror, bizarre happenings, unexplainable events. This is Disturbed. Hello, and welcome back to the show. This week, we're bringing you four stories that will scare you senseless. So sit back, listen closely, and dive into the horror. First, a story narrated by Catherine Restivo from Reddit user AutomaticTrust2238. Kids are cute, except when it's late at night. And you don't have any.
A few years ago, I took a gig working as an after-hours security guard in a big building. It was the graveyard shift, 11 p.m. to 7 a.m., and my station was situated in the middle of a large open-plan foyer. There was a lounge in front of me, an elevator station behind me on the left, and an entrance to a dining hall on my right. The entire floor is connected by conjoining hallways, with my position at the center. So I had a really good 180 view if anything were to happen. It was my first night working at the security desk, around 2 a.m. It was an otherwise normal-seeming shift, when all of a sudden, the lights started going out. A far hallway light would flicker on and then go out, followed by a few-minute pause, and then it would come back on. Followed by the next light going out, the lights were all motion sensored, but they only changed from dim to bright when someone walked through. But nobody had walked through for hours. I was sitting at my post in the middle of the room. I didn't miss anything. It was weird that the lights were flickering fully on and off. The motion sensored lights were only supposed to dim when there wasn't any movement, not turn off. I thought, probably just an electrical issue. I was consumed by this K-drama I was watching, and so I just ignored it and went back to my show. Out of nowhere, a sharp ding penetrated the silence from over my left shoulder, and I heard the sound of the elevator doors opening. I waited for the sound of footsteps on the granite floor to fill the foyer, but they never came. And as I looked up from the phone on my desk, I watched the light from the elevator disappear from the ground in front of me. I was sufficiently on edge now, but I didn't want to be bothered. I just went back to my K-drama series and figured I'd talk with somebody after my shift about the electric in the foyer being weird. As weird as it sounds, when I glanced up from my desk, I saw the lights in the hallway start to dim and then brighten, one after the other, as if someone was coming down the hall towards me. At first, I was certain that the bulbs needed changing, but the pattern that they were dimming and brightening in was too strange. Finally, after this happening over and over, I watched the lights travel to the dining hall to the other side of me and decided to get up to go investigate. This was just too weird to ignore. I walked down the hallway, but everything looked normal. I turned around to walk back to my desk when all of a sudden, all the hairs on my neck stood up. It felt like there was someone behind me, staring in my direction. I didn't want to turn around, but eventually I found the courage to turn back toward the dining hall. I saw something small, the height of a child, turn around the corner into the connecting hallway. This was super bizarre. There weren't any kids on the premises, and it was late at night. I power walked back towards the dining hall and turned the corner, but there was nobody there. Strange. I walked back to my station, but the unsettling feeling that I was being watched never left me. I turned on all of the lights before I sat down, so I could feel assured that I was seeing everything clearly. I just needed to feel like it was day for a moment. Well, that didn't last. Again, after a few minutes, the lights behind me began to dim as nobody had walked through the hallway for a moment. The lights I had purposefully turned on around me turned off. It was dark, and in my peripheral vision, I could sense something was standing a few feet to my right. My eyes turned, but my head was still facing toward the screen on my phone. I heard something whisper, "Hi." I quickly turned my whole body to face the direction of the voice, but it disappeared down the hallway faster than I could make out what it was. None of the motion lights were triggered. I couldn't make sense of what had just happened. Something was there. It said hello, but none of the lights changed when it moved by them. I stood there at my desk, my mind racing with what I should do next, when from the corner of my table, a small child's head peeked over the edge. It only revealed the top of its head and two big eyes. Its skin was lifeless and gray, and it had short, curly, reddish-brown hair. I bolted, sprinting down the emergency staircase, running full tilt until I found the other night watch who was close by. I burst into her room and frantically explained everything to her. She was just staring at me and finally interrupted me with, "Oh, you must be new. Your first time?" What the fuck? She explained that this building was full of paranormal activity. People who worked here from 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. were constantly seeing stuff. Newcomers especially. I couldn't get past how nonchalant she was acting. Like this was just a normal part of life for the people here. Well, I explained to her that this was not normal, and I wasn't having any of it. That was the first and last graveyard shift I ever worked at that company. And I am not going back anytime soon.
Our next story is told by Dan DeGrow about catching your son red-handed with your phone, or should I say, dead-handed with a ghost.
This story was told to me by a former coworker. I believe this person, as they had no reason to lie to me. A few years ago, I worked with a woman at a factory in my hometown. My hometown is quite old, and many of the neighborhoods have historic neighborhood signs at the entrances. There are plenty of old Victorian homes that were once built by well-off people in a once-flourishing factory town. But now, 120 years later, they are all old, dilapidated, and creepy. While I lived there, I occasionally asked around if anyone had any good ghost stories they'd experienced. This is one that stuck with me. My friend Jen told me that, while renting one of these very old Victorian homes a few years ago, she experienced many strange events. One time, she walked into her kitchen in the middle of the night, flipped on the light, and saw a broom standing straight up on its handle end in the middle of the floor. Suddenly, it fell over, scaring the hell out of her. Her TV would turn on and off on its own, and occasionally she would get this strange feeling in certain parts of her home, like random terror or someone was enraged with her. She said the worst thing she'd experienced happened to her child, and it was recorded on her phone. She explained that she used to sit in her room and watch TV and fold the laundry, and her kids would play on the floor of the living room next to her. Her five-year-old son liked to take her phone and record his voice so he could play the file back to himself. She would later go through and delete some of the recordings and save some for later because they were cute, occasionally sharing them with her sister. Well, one particular day, After a particularly long recording session, she decided to go through and delete some of the voice recordings her son had made. As her son was talking in one particular recording, she heard a man's voice in the background. A garbled, deep male voice. It kept telling her son the same thing. Come here.
Come here.
Come over here. This sent her into an instant state of anxiety, but she listened on. Her son responded to the voice. What? What did you say? There was a pause, and then, loudly and mechanically, come here. Then, suddenly, six or seven more voices, all speaking together, began to plead with her son. Don't go to him. Don't go. Stay away. They were all talking at once in different tones, all sounding worried and warning him. It sent my friend Jen into a panic, and she ran to her son to make sure he was okay. She called her sister to talk through it and confirmed to her that the TV wasn't on and what she would have watched around them wouldn't have had anything like that going on. She decided that was enough, and they moved as soon as they could after that. Her family hasn't experienced anything remotely similar since moving out, and I could tell by the shakiness in her voice that she wasn't lying. I don't know what would have happened to her little boy if he had listened to the voice, or if they had stayed long enough to find out who was trying to talk to him. But I'm glad they didn't find out.
You're listening to Disturbed. We'll be right back. So if you're like me, you'll get your spooks from any source available. The real horrors we tell here on Disturbed, the look in my wife's eyes when I tell her we're eating Pizza Hut again for the fourth night in a row, and often from the latest and greatest horror movies coming out in theaters. If you've got a want for the haunt, we both know that you just can't beat that in-theater viewing experience. That's why we're recommending Regal Unlimited to our listeners. It just makes sense for the terror seeker in all of us. Regal Unlimited is the all-you-can-watch movie subscription pass that pays for itself after just two visits. Any standard movie, anytime, no restrictions or blackouts. Now, when I'm possessed by the urge to see The Purge, I can satisfy that need as soon as the next one comes out. And trust me, there'll be a new one soon enough. And for those special events, 4DX, IMAX, RPX, or ScreenX, your Regal Unlimited membership gets you into those premium experiences at a reduced cost. You even get discounts on snacks and sodas. A deal so good, it's grotesque. If you're planning to see two movies this month, Regal Unlimited is a must-have. Sign up now in the Regal app or on regmovies.com/unlimited. Be sure to use code DISTURBED during checkout for 10% off. We'll see you at the next horror show. Thanks.
Hello, this is Dr. Grande, the host of True Crime Psychology and Personality. On my podcast, I explore and explain the pathology behind some of the most horrendous crimes and those who commit them. We discuss topics like narcissism, psychopathy, sociopathy, and antisocial personality disorder from a scientifically informed perspective. What is a narcissist? How do you spot a sociopath? What signs can you look for to protect yourself from these dangerous personalities? It's not just about the stories, but also the science and psychology behind them. So if you're interested in true crime or mental health, I'd encourage you to give my show a listen wherever you get podcasts.
Ever heard of stoicism? Chances are, if you have, you've heard of stoicism with a lowercase s and not stoicism with an uppercase s. Lone wolves, no emotions, antisocial behavior, cold indifference. All that is Stoicism with a lowercase s. Stoicism with an uppercase s is the ancient Greek philosophy and virtue ethics framework that centers on service to the cosmopolis, to include your family, friends, community, and planet, and the development of a good moral character. My name is Tanner Campbell, and I'm the host of Practical Stoicism, a 3 times a week podcast teaching Stoic principles and concepts to anyone interested through the exploration of texts and deep dives into various moral topics. You can find Practical Stoicism where you're already listening to podcasts by searching for Practical Stoicism or by going to stoicismpod.com. I invite you to give it a listen today. You just might like it.
Welcome back to the podcast. Our next story is about a stark encounter with a demon, narrated by Dallas Stark.
I have my doubts about the story I'm about to tell, but it's something that I think about constantly. And I wonder how many people have been through a similar experience. This happened when I was a kid, around 13 years old. I started having sleep paralysis, and it was happening fairly often, like 3 or 4 times a week. And it was always the same. I would lay down in my bed, turn off the lights, and as soon as I started to relax, I suddenly couldn't move. Unable to scream, unable to utter a word, just staring at the ceiling. Then I would feel a strange sense of pressure all around me. Like when you swim and go too deep underwater, and you can feel the pressure of the water in your head and ears. Or when you're on a plane and suddenly feel the change of pressure. The ceiling in front of me would disappear into darkness. And then the face would appear right in front of me. It was always the same face, the face of a man with red skin and strange features. He almost looked like a Japanese oni demon mask, but without horns. I clearly remember his red skin. He spoke to me, but I never understood the words. His voice was guttural, deep, and always scared me. He would laugh. The more scared I became, the harder he would laugh. This lasted for weeks, and though my parents were concerned, they just attributed it to watching too much TV or something. I had only ever had sleep paralysis at night, but one time, in the middle of the day, I was in my room playing on my computer. My mother called me to come have lunch. When I stood up from my desk, something immediately threw me to the floor. Felt as if some force just grabbed me and tossed me. Then the chair I was sitting in was thrown and almost landed on top of me. I remember running to my mother and crying in a state of complete panic. My mom, a Catholic, decided to put a saint's card and a small cross over my bed. Believe it or not, the encounter stopped after that. I continued to have some sleep paralysis episodes, but never again saw that face, felt that strange pressure, or had any other weird encounter like that. I still feel weird when I go visit my parents and have to sleep in that room. I will never forget that face or that voice. To this day, it haunts me, and I wonder what it was trying to tell me.
Our final story is narrated by Michaela Ray from r/paranormal encounters. And you thought drugs sucked the life out of you.
I grew up in Montana,
in a town that had a decent number of people. My childhood was pretty standard, but everything changed after I turned 13 in 2011. That was the year that my mother met my late stepdad. The two of them hit it off and moved really fast. Her and my stepdad became full-on drug addicts, and within a year, my two siblings and I were forced to leave our childhood home. After living out of a car for a little bit, we all moved in with my stepdad in his RV. My mom didn't care what we were going through. All they cared about was smoking as much as they possibly could. This RV was from the 90s. It was my stepdad's parents before he moved in. Needless to say, it was old before he ever got a hold of it, and it was decrepit now. It smelled like someone had died in it, and it was parked behind my stepdad's parents' house. It was maybe 32 feet long, though, and we gladly took it over our current living condition. My mom and her husband were too high all the time to notice, but my siblings and I started to see strange little things happen. My stepdad had taken in a kitten that a homeless man had offered him, and he was a good kitty to us. That being said, he absolutely hated being inside the RV and would scream at the door until we let him out. Sometimes we'd come home from school and find the cat inside the kitchen cupboard. These weren't broken down or anything. There wasn't another way in other than through the cupboard door. If you don't know about RV cabinets, they all lock shut from the outside so things don't fly around when you're driving. The cat couldn't possibly have worked the pinching mechanism to open the cabinet to get in. And no matter how high those two got, they weren't the type to go after animals. At a certain point, it was nearly every day that we'd come home to find our cat needing rescue. After a little while, my brother and I started to wake up with scratches on our arms and shoulders. My parents said it was the cat, but these weren't anything like cat scratches. And our cat didn't go after us like that. Looking back, it seemed like someone had been digging their nails into us while we slept. That's what it looked like. The sheer amount of anxiety we children got when we were alone in the RV led us to always use the buddy system. The three of us talked it over and decided that the RV was haunted, and that's why it felt so scary to be there, and why all these strange things kept happening to us. Clearly, the spirits didn't want us there, because if anyone was alone in the RV, they'd feel super cold and anxious. If we all stuck together, we never felt that way, and it wasn't something I was making up. I tried not to be afraid of the RV, but it was a feeling that I couldn't control. It felt like a scary story I couldn't get rid of. My stepdad had some back problems, and at one point, he was stuck on his back in bed for over a week. As a kid, I thought it must have been all the drugs he was on, but he said that he felt a presence holding him down in bed. Nobody could lift him out except our mom, and even when she did, it made him scream and cry. My mom said it felt like he gained 50 pounds overnight. It took my mom 20 minutes to rip him out of bed. But as soon as he was out of the RV, he stretched for a moment and then shook it off. He was instantly fine, as if he had never felt any pain. There was one thing we saw that was the most confusing part. One time, my sister and I went to get our parents out of the RV for something. I don't remember what. In the middle of the day, we walked into the RV to find my mom sitting on the arm of an armchair and my dad sitting next to her on the couch. Sitting in the armchair next to my mother was a woman dressed in all black. She was in a beautiful, neatly pressed black dress, but the rest of her looked
bizarre. Her face was messed up, and her head hung low, like her neck was bent. Her eyes were fuzzy, like she had just stopped crying, and her skin was pale white. Her hair was frizzy and somehow neatly arranged. She would raise her head to look at my parents when they spoke, but otherwise, didn't interact with anyone. We assumed it was their drug dealer. We didn't try to get their attention then, and when we were talking with our parents later, we asked who that woman in black was. They both turned pale and asked us to repeat ourselves. Apparently, they had no idea who we were talking about, and we were very spooked. My best guess is that when we saw the woman in black, they were completely geeked out. If you've ever been around someone who is tweaking, they talk to themselves at a rapid pace and rock back and forth. They were talking to this woman in black the whole time, but their meth-rattled brains didn't know it wasn't just a one-sided conversation. We saw the woman in black again from time to time. She didn't scare us, but we felt this hunger from her. She felt open to something. I think it was the negative energy. She never bothered us kids. She only focused on my parents, and she only appeared when they were fully incoherent. She would sit there and listen to them ramble, nodding her head along. Sometimes, I caught glimpses of her hovering near my parents in the campfire light. She was always there, holding on to their addictions. That day that we told them we saw the lady in black, my parents decided to take us somewhere to get a clear head. I think it was the park, but I can't remember. After an hour or so of walking around and talking, we all went back to the RV. But what we found there shocked us to the core. Even though it was still light outside, and there was a streetlight just nearby, the curtains inside the RV were thrown open, something that we literally had never done before. And inside the RV was pitch black. We should have been able to make out the details of the furniture inside the front room just beyond the window, but saw nothing. It was like an energy had taken over in there and was waiting for us. We decided to sleep in the car that night. I didn't want it to feed off my family's negative energy anymore. We didn't go back inside for a week. A lot of our fear came from my shitty drug-addicted parents. Yeah, they acted just like us kids. And instead of telling us it's okay and the spirits wouldn't hurt us, their meth-informed paranoia took over and scared us even worse than we would have been by ourselves. And after I saw the woman in black feeding off of my drug-addicted parents, I started being able to see these energy feeders everywhere I went. And oftentimes, they preyed on drug addicts. All those meth heads who swear they weren't hallucinating, they're not. Addict friends from high school saw the woman in black. A distant family member I met up with once had seen the woman in black. It's not something I have to seek out. I just need to be around that kind of addict energy for a little while. In particular, I was hanging out with a friend not too long ago. They were down on their luck and had been doing drugs more and more lately. When I saw him, he was high, but had ingested before we met up. After walking around town at night for a moment, he stopped to tell me that he saw a shadowy man following him. "No big deal," he said. He confessed to seeing it everywhere, and how he was the only one. "No, I can see it. It's walking toward us, right?" He looked finally like he had seen a ghost. That experience I had as a kid was one of the biggest paranormal events I've ever experienced.
I steered clear of drugs as I got older, and I'd recommend you do the same. There's no telling what else is out there, hoping to feed off of your addiction without you ever knowing it.
Want more Disturbed? Check out our Patreon for member-exclusive content, early merch access, and other cool perks. For just one more week, patrons will be voting to decide the new podcast art for the show. Interested? Follow the link in the description to join soon before voting ends on April 15th. I'm your host, Doug Bailey, and this has been Disturbed, a production of Killer Podcasts and part of the Evergreen Network. For more paranormal and true crime shows, visit killerpodcasts.com. Follow our social channels at Disturbed Podcast on Instagram or Disturbed_pod on Twitter. If you enjoyed the show, please consider subscribing and reviewing on your favorite listening platform. Share your own true horror story at disturbedpodcast.com. Music by Epidemic Sound and by Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. Our producers are Noah Fouts and Elizabeth Flood. Our audio engineer is Nathan Corson. Executive producers Bridget Coyne and Gerardo Orlando. Until next time, stay safe out there.
Well, hey, podcast listener, my name is Vince, and I'm the host of a show called The RR Show. It stands for Reddit Readings. We're going to sit down twice a week, and I'm going to bring you the most entertaining stories from all of the best subreddits that exist online. Things like malicious compliance, petty revenge, hey, lady, I don't work here. Oh, there's so much more. Lots of great stories and things you won't believe. Like the one time this dude was caught in a bathroom with his friend and he was slapping them because that was the only way that he could actually legitimately help them. A mall cop comes in with a taser. Oh, yeah. The rest is history. It's going to be fun. There is, I don't know, I got like 20 seconds left, so I don't got much more time to tell you another story. But just join me on The RR Show. It's from Evergreen Podcast, produced in partnership with Wessler Media. So The RR Show. Wherever you get podcasts, subscribe today. And it's like an adult story time. Let's hang out together. The RR Show. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts.